Welcome to the Career Buzz Podcast by CDI College, providing the training you need for the career you want. At CDI College, our programs are designed to place students directly into the workforce, but we know that the transition can be scary at times. In this podcast, we explore what it's like to be on the ground in the careers you choose. We talk to professionals, alumni, and experts in the field. They share real stories of adaptation and innovation in a constantly changing environment. No matter what profession you choose, there's something for you at CDI College. Welcome to another episode of the Career Buzz Podcast, brought to you by CDI College. I'm Jennifer Lee, your host, and today we're talking about another exciting program that CDI has to offer, and it's the Social Services Worker Program. We're going to talk all about what is required to get into that program and what kind of opportunities that field can offer you for a great, rewarding career. Today, we're talking to an amazing guy with a great story. His name is Shaquille Khan, and he wears many hats. He is the social services worker, instructor, educator, and program coordinator for one of CDI College's sister schools. So let's get started and learn more about Shaquille's career journey and more about the social services worker program at CDI College. Hey, Shaquille, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you for asking. How are you?
Great. Are you enjoying the sunshine we have going on here?
Yeah. I mean, it's so nice, honestly. A little bit of vitamin D, right? Can't go wrong with that.
It's like summer has arrived finally.
Yeah. I mean, I think this weekend it might be, okay, someone's telling me it might be 32 degrees, but like, I think it might be just 26, right? But it's hot, man. It is so like, it's ugly sweating outside, so I'm excited.
Ugly sweating. Yeah, but I feel like as soon as we say that and complain, winter is going to arrive again next week.
Oh, I know. Oh my goodness. I feel like this weather has just been all over the place, from like super rainy to super cold to super hot. Like, my body's not adjusting to it just yet, but I'm going to take it as it comes.
There we go. Good attitude to have. And can you tell everyone what you do, just so everyone has an idea? And you also have some cool naming stories.
Well, my name is Shaquille. You can call me Shaq, or my last name is Khan. You can call me Shaka Khan. So I've been in the mental health industry for roughly 10 years now. So I started at a very young age, experienced it at a very young age, with addictions and all that kind of fun stuff. I currently am a instructor at a local college here in Surrey. I teach the social services mental health and wellness program that actually specializes both in addictions, childcare, and mental health foundations. Outside of that work, I'm also a counselor, an addictions counselor, and an educator for another nonprofit organization called Muslim Community Care Foundation.
Wow. I feel like, can you do any more jobs? I thought I was busy. And I also know, on top of everything that you do, and you do amazingly, you also have a podcast as well.
Yeah, I'm also a part of a podcast, and I'm a professional photographer as well. So I mean, that's it. I swear there's nothing else, right? Maybe, yeah, that's, I want to pick up another hobby, but I'm just like, no, I'll wait. I'll work on the three that I have.
And how did you get into social services work? I know you mentioned a little bit before that some personal stuff kind of led you in that direction, but was there like a light bulb moment that one day that you're like, oh, I found my passion?
You know what? It's a sad story. I experienced addictions at a very young age. I think my earliest experience with addictions was roughly around the ages of four, five, six, between those 3 years. My father was actually in addictions for most of my life, in and out of addictions. And then I would have like uncles in and out of addictions. And then a lot of just like, you know, domestic abuse in multiple kind of categories in my life. So kind of seeing that, and then really just being a part of the educational system. So a little fun story about me. When I was in kindergarten, I was labeled, I remember when I was told to speak in front of the classroom and, do division, right? And put the popsicles, how many popsicles is so-and-so, you know? So I remember standing in front of the students and I couldn't even speak. I didn't even know how to divide. Like, till this day, division scares the butt out of me. It's terrible. But long story short, due to that first experience of my isolation from, you know, experiencing, you know, trauma and all that kind of stuff, led me into this whole new realm of going into like the slow learning class. So from grade kindergarten all the way up to grade 11, I was in the slow learning class, clearly misdiagnosed. And so that kind of set off this whole thing where I came from an institution that told me that you're not going to go far if you leave this program. You will fail if you leave this program. And then how going home and kind of having to deal with that madness as well, there was really no escape. So I've always had this passion for addictions and mental health. I think that there's just so, we have the textbook definition of it, but I think there's so much more than just a textbook that we can read. I think that there's a lot to do with the spirituality, the wellness behind it and all that kind of stuff. So that is when the light bulb kind of just went bang. And I was like, okay, you know what? I am going to go back to school and I'm going to actually do something with my life and not work another dead-end job. So 10 years later, here I am. Oh, actually, like 14 years later, but yeah, 10 years later, here I am.
That's amazing. I can totally feel your passion for it. If other people are thinking right now and they're listening to this, and they're like, oh, I want to check out the CDI College's Social Service Worker Program. Do you think it's necessarily important to have a past that is related to anything industry-wise in this job, or can it just be a passion? What do you think makes a great person for this role in this job or other careers in this industry?
When I was a clinical youth worker, for 6 years, I've never actually, I cannot confidently say that I've been in addiction. So when I would sit with my clients and they would say things to me like, you know, Shaq, like, how could you sit here and talk to me about addictions yet you've never experienced addictions? So then my rebuttal to this was, you're right. I've never experienced addictions. However, do you have a mom? Do you have a brother? Do you have a father? Yes. I can tell you how they feel. And then that's where it kind of turns into this whole, like, you don't necessarily have to come from a place of addictions or physical addictions, lived experience in addictions to kind of do this program. I think that if you genuinely have the passion, the drive, and, you know, and the compassion in general, and the willingness to want to learn, I think that there's so many opportunities for that. Right. It's if we scapegoat it and we say, oh, only people in addictions can do this, then we're kind of pushing away 99% of the other people that could potentially help the 100% that are suffering from this.
I agree. And I think that's probably a great skill to have in your toolkit is being a great listener, because I would feel like in this job, you'd really have to listen to what the person is telling you so you're able to help them correctly.
I listen too well. I listen too well.
Is there such a thing as listening too well?
Yeah, I don't know, because like sometimes like I'll listen too well to a point where I'm like, I start second guessing myself. Did I hear that right? Maybe they said that because of this. And a lot of times, like, I have a hard time hating people. I genuinely don't hate people, because I'm just like, oh man, because I listen to their stories and then I can see the behaviors as to why they might be aggressive. And then I put the compassion there and the empathy. And I'm just like, man, like, I get it why you're so aggressive. I understand why you may have this view of this world, right? And then that's where the listening skills comes in, because listening allows the person to put a cup, to put, like, I guess, love between that person and compassion, right? Which creates empathy. So it's an important tool for sure.
Yeah, you really have to understand people for this job. You're kind of in the people industry. You really have to be able to be relatable and understand what they're going through.
Yeah, we really are. Like, it's just like, oh man, it's like, when I really break down the program, it's just, I'm teaching people how to create life skills that they may not have. They should have had, but they don't have, like being nice, being mannerful, being respectful, learn listening skills, empathy, and all that kind of stuff, right? So it's a beautiful program when you really are dedicated to it.
And with this program, because it's kind of broad, it's called the Social Services Worker Program, like many programs, actually. You go into them and you discover there are many different careers that you can go to and positions under this umbrella. And sometimes I think we limit ourselves because we just see the words and we're like, we're going to go into this program. And then we get in there and realize it's so rich and there's so many different paths that we can take and areas that we can explore. So what are some of the areas that people can explore if they take the Social Services Worker Program at CDI?
It's scary because the word social is so broad, right? So the thing here is that, like, I also do like a few recruits here and there, right? And it's one of the questions I'm always asked is, you know, where could you work? So you can work in hospitals, right? Any PHSA, VGH, Fraser Health facilities that allow people with social service workers diplomas, they're allowed to go work there. You know, obviously addictions recovery facilities. One of my favorite places I love to send students, but I don't just send any student there, to be honest. It's kind of like you have to work really hard to get that placement, which is high schools. You can work in high schools. One of the more recent ones is working with victim services, you know, and where I'm currently in the talks of getting students to go into correction facilities like jails to work with the nurses to conduct support groups for the inmates as well and all that kind of stuff. So there's so much work out there.
I was actually just going to ask you about corrections, and then you answered me because I felt that would probably be another industry that you could go into under this umbrella. And I know some nurse friends that have worked in certain prisons and things like that. So I feel like there would be a lot of value from someone in your position in corrections as well. So you talk about the different jobs that you can get, but what are some of the typical duties that you do and maybe some of the challenges that you have to address?
Yeah, I think one of the typical duties that we have to do, especially when it's like entry level, like we'll look at the entry level and then make our way up. But with the entry level, it's kind of just like meeting the clients where they're at. So there's not a lot of like the first challenge is that you're not going to change people. That's the biggest challenge. And a lot of students, I tell them, I'm like, listen, man, you're not Michael Jordan. It's not going to happen. You know what I mean? You don't go into the industry thinking that you're the all-star, right? So kind of understanding that, like, you are not going to be the reason. You may not save this entire industry. You could potentially save someone, right? So that kind of takes them away from burnout. But one of the typical duties that we do is a lot of caseworking. Oh, my goodness, so much paperwork. It's like a trial. It's like astronomically crazy because all the time you're talking, listening, note-taking, talking, listening, note-taking, putting it into the computer, and just like it gets kind of overwhelming after a while, especially if you have like 5 to 10 clients. So there is a lot of paperwork that is involved in this industry, a lot of talking. And this is something that I tell students all the time is that you guys really need to get out of your comfort zone. This industry is not a job where you sit behind a desk and then you just hand out a piece of paper and say, fill it out. Like, this job is all about building a bridge that is broken. And one of the things that I tell my students, and I even tell my loved ones, is that we are dealing with a vulnerable sector of people who have been rejected from society. It is your responsibility to be that bridge. So when you see these individuals, take that opportunity to sit, listen, learn, and build that bridge as a relationship. So that's like the main thing.
That's a beautiful way of putting it. And I know during COVID, you probably dealt with a lot of different challenges in this area because obviously mental health was becoming more prevalent during COVID and we're becoming more aware of it. Do you find that it kind of deterred people from going in this line of work, or do you think this career offered more opportunities and more people wanted to take part in this industry?
More people than ever. Like, oh my goodness. So here's the thing. This was the crazy thing I tell all students. I'm like, listen, when the entire world shut down, like we lost Walmart, we lost Superstore, we lost like PetSmart, you know, I love PetSmart. And, you know, all these places that they just kind of just crumbled. We saw an entire economy just collapse in front of us. Two things stayed outside of banking and all that kind of stuff. But two things stayed: healthcare and social service work and social work. These are the two things. Because healthcare, because of COVID, obviously, right? However, in social service work and mental health work, people's mental health were rising, and the stats show that like people were just so paranoid, anxiety ridden because of, like, you know, I mean, Corona, right? And all that kind of stuff. And then constantly staying home. So we had so much work to do, and our enrollment rates were very high as well. And even to this point too, they're still hiring out the wazoo. Because they see the need. You know, unfortunately, during the pandemic, we also had an overdose crisis, and the pandemic didn't make it any easier, right? So with all that kind of accumulated together, our workload didn't diminish by any means. If anything, it just kind of expanded. in different kind of ways. But like I said, I'm very grateful because it kept me employed, and it's still keeping me employed. So like through the downfall, I still find the silver lining in it.
It's just so interesting during COVID because we think about the nurses and the doctors, and obviously they're there and they're very important and they're on the front lines and they're fighting the disease. And then there's you and your team, and you're helping people as well because people are going through burnout and some people are displaying signs of mental health that maybe they never have before. So what you do, it's really important because even as we try to live with COVID, what you and what you're teaching all your students that you're taking under your wing is just so important. And it's lovely to have people that are so passionate about roles like yours, like yourself. So that being said, what are some types of courses that students would see if they joined a program like this?
So we have courses specifically based around like pharmacology. One of the ones I just finished right now about different kind of drugs, different kind of medications. One of my favorite courses is relapse prevention, right? And one of the ways that I like to express relapse or explain relapse is not through a, like you're relapsing to drugs, but relapsing into behaviors, because addiction isn't just a chemical thing. It's also a behavior kind of thing as well. Process addictions, right? So I really talk about how we relapse into kind of bad behaviors, like unhealthy eating habits. For me, one of my worst unhealthy eating habits is I tend to eat like cereal at 4 o'clock in the morning just to stress eat because I'm not done working. So I'm just eating cinnamon toast, right? But another one of my favorite courses is intake and assessment. And that kind of talks about, you know, the paperwork that comes with, you know, peer support counseling and all that kind of stuff. And then another one would be, you know, the fundamentals of mental health, the fundamentals of addiction, subculture and culture. So in regards to just understanding the human psyche and the and kind of like politics, we kind of push them together, and then we put mental health and then healthcare all into one program. So if you're someone who's passionate about just like, okay, maybe you don't want to work with addictions, okay, sure, we have a program for that. We have a whole set specifically for that. Maybe you want to work in addictions, okay, great, we can do that. Maybe you don't want to work with youth or addictions, okay, great, we have something for that as well. So there's a lot of discussions into our classrooms in regards to you know, current day events and all that kind of fun jazz as well. So there's so much work. It's like a plethora of different courses, but it's really fun. I swear it's so fun. You gotta come. I just bought a coffee machine. It's amazing.
Oh, I want to come take your course. You're just so passionate about what you do and it sounds great. If someone's listening to this right now and they're thinking about a career in this field, this is something that I always like to think about, and we talked a little bit about it before, but a stepping stone into other careers. And sometimes we start off in one part of the industry and then we want to take some more education and then still stick in the similar industry, but kind of go off to another kind of career branch, as I like to talk about. If people start with the social services worker program, is there a different area that they can end up later on with education in the healthcare system?
Yeah. Most definitely. And that's the thing, is that like, obviously we're preparing students for a career, right? And one of the things that that's important is setting them up for the future. So I just recently, I think it was last week, one of my previous students from, I think 2 years ago, graduated. She messaged me. She's just like, guess what? I'm like, what? She's just like, after 2 years of working in the industry, after a year of working in the industry, I'm now creating my own programs and I'm also facilitating them. And I'm also being offered to be a manager at this facility within 1 year, right? So the thing here is that there's if you do a good job, you'll have an amazing outcome. One of the things I try to tell my students is that don't just work for someone, you know, create your own workshops. You know, that's something that I've been doing. Create your own workshops, expand your mind, go get more education, but also still work in the industry. Because the thing here is that this kind of work, this kind of education never stops growing. It's always, as long as we are here, this kind of work will always grow, and especially the education behind it. So there's a lot of growth as long as you get your foot in the door, right? If you want to be someone who kind of just wants to stay there, lay low, that's totally fine. But if you are someone who is willing and ready to learn and actually, you know, pick up your socks and climb that ladder. It's a very easy ladder to climb.
And since you've been doing social services work for a while, is there a story that you still think about from your days of being a social services worker?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's so many stories. But one of my favorite stories was with my client. She suffers from amnesia, Tourette's, and unfortunately addictions as well. I think his drug of choice was heroin and fentanyl. And so when I met him, young kid, and this is a year into the industry, this is 1 year as a clinical youth worker. And I remember just seeing my guy and I'm just like, hey, he's like, hey. And then he was my client for a year and he couldn't even remember the medications that he would take. So he'll come in the morning to me. He'd be like, hey, Shaq, I need X, Y, and Z. I'm like, okay, it's 9 o'clock. Here's the medication. We'll kind of have a talk. And then he'll come back to me at like 9:45. Hey, did I take my X, Y, and Z medication? And I'm like, yeah. He'll come back at 11. Hey, did I take that medication again? I'm like, yeah, you're. So we created a chart. And every day that he looks at the chart, kind of reminds him because of his drug use and amnesia. So this guy was having such a hard time coping because of his illness. And there was multiple times where he was, you know, contemplating suicide and, you know, with the love of support of our staff workers, something amazing happened. He wanted to go back to school. So I'm like, okay, let's go back to school. So then he went back to school. He went to a university, he graduated and then he became a chef. And now he's working in the kitchen. And the thing here is that he still has his illness. He's now sober, but he still lives with amnesia. He still lives with Tourette's. And the best part about it is that, you know, I'm so honored to be a part of that bridge because society shunned him away 100% of the time. And it just takes one person to simply say, okay, let's listen to this story, you know, and that's all it took. And now this guy he's living a good life.
Oh, I just love that story. And I love how you put it in that beautiful imagery of how you were that bridge for him. I think that's great. Do you still keep in touch with him?
Once in a while, I'll see him, message him, hey, how's it going? How's life? He's doing good, man. Right? I'm like, oh, that's cool. But yeah, it's, you know, like I said, it's one of those things. And I'm still constantly like counseling with my other clients as well. So like there's always like success stories. But the thing here, the unfortunate reality, there will be heartbreaking stories as well. And that's one thing that if I could really convey to students who are looking into this program is that like, be ready to hear some stories, man. Be ready to fight back some tears. Be ready to deal with that because there's days in my lectures that I'll give a lecture and it'll be so passionate where there's no dry eye in the classroom, right? And so as long as you're ready for that, then I think we can talk about composure, which is awesome.
And you just touched upon something important because the job sometimes can have a lot of heavy content matter in it day after day. How do you take care of yourself? Because I would think that self-care was so important in this job.
Yeah, most definitely. So honestly, I don't sleep half the time. I do sleep. So I obviously sleep, but like, I just have to tell myself, number one, that like, listen, Shaq, you'll deal with it on, this is, today's Friday, bro. It's a Monday issue, right? So I number one, get into that mindset, but just getting into a mindset will not calm the anxiety down. So then it goes into my next thing, which is I have a photography business and I really take my time into photography. I picked up a hobby. I'm currently going to boxing. I joined a soccer league. So I'm keeping myself busy on the days that I don't have work. So after like maybe 6-7 o'clock is 1 hour of just either I'm doing photo shoots, boxing, or I'm playing soccer, or I'm going to the gym. Because physical wellness equates to mental wellness. And if I'm just, the way that I like to look at it is like this. So kind of like a filter, okay? So imagine going to work, getting yelled at by your clients, and then immediately coming home. And then you're going to talk to your parents, maybe talk to your spouse. Your mood will kind of be a little bit distorted, right? Because like you were just finished getting yelled at. Now you're going to go talk to your husband or go talk to your wife or talk to your children. And, you know, maybe you may not want to be confrontational, but you might slam a cupboard here or there, right? You might, you know, just be extra quiet and your spouse, you know, might be like, oh, what's going on here? So I call it a filter where I get yelled at work, or I may have a hard time at work, or there might be a sad story at work, I then transition into that 1 hour filter. And in that 1 hour filter, I'm either going for a walk, I'm either going to the gym, doing a photo shoot, painting, reading, or doing something. And then I'm transitioning into my safe space, which is my house. It's very, kind of like weather. If it's cold one day and hot the next day, our body cannot, control that, right? Or transition. So kind of like our mood as well, is that we can immediately just switch off our moods. I think there was a recent study that came out that said that after you're done yelling and being angry, it takes your body 24 hours to actually calm it down. So you can like compose yourself and look good, but your internals are saying, by the way, no, it's not, right? So I really try to give myself that filter, that transition moment, which is that 1 hour. I just tell everyone, I just need an hour. Give me that 1 hour of just pumping those weights or playing a game, and then I will give you the best version of myself after that 1 hour. But before that, you may not get the best version of me. You know, kind of like, I love flying. I was recently in Saudi Arabia for 10 days. And then before that, I was in New York in December. And I always tell my students this. I'm like, listen, when the plane's crashing, who gets oxygen first? You, right? So when you're crashing at work, are you just going to take off the oxygen mask and give it to your client? You are. And I really try to gas my students up. And I tell them that in this game of chess, you're not a pawn. Because I actively play chess. When we play chess, pawns are the first to be sacrificed, right? I tell my students, I in this classroom, you are kings and queens. That is all that we're producing in here. So I remind them that a king can only be as good as long as he is good, or as long as she is good. But if you're not taking care of yourself, say goodbye to the entire kingdom.
You're just a beautiful soul, and I'm learning so much from you. I want to take your course. I know I mentioned that already, but you're just so inspiring. Another question I have about the industry is, because every industry has misconceptions, what are some of the misconceptions about being a social services worker?
That we're enabling behaviors. And I come from a Desi Pakistani community. Like when I told my mom, I'm like, hey, mom, I want to get into mental health work. Where's the money in that? Why don't you want to go into trades, right? I did go into trades. I can legally paint cars for a living. I just don't do it because I don't like it. But when I tell my family I want to get into mental health work, immediately they're just like, well, they did this to themselves, so why do you want to help them? And that's the biggest problem, is that people look at a homeless person and they'll say, well, you did this to yourself, so why do I need to help you? I say, if you were to give yourself that time to listen to their story, you would understand why that bridge is broken. See, the thing here, Jennifer, is that we have this misconception that addictions is a choice or addictions is a disease. I believe that addictions is an attempt to soothe a pain that has never been dealt with, to soothe a wound that has never been dealt with. So in my classroom, I'm talking to my students. I say, I don't care what drugs you're using. Whether it's crack, meth, fent, heroin, down, up, side, smack, whatever it is, that is your, to the client, that is what brings them ease. In this classroom, we're going to talk about what caused the destruction. And so what happens here is when we understand that that person that we're potentially counseling or talking to or speaking with may be a victim of rape, maybe a victim of molestation, maybe a victim of X, Y, and Z. So the moment that we put that story onto these clients, or they tell us the story, empathy is built. But when we just say, oh, well, you did this to yourself, and we don't say anything else, that bridge, gone. Right? So that's one thing that I really, really, really try to tell my students, is that every person outside of this classroom is a potential a victim of something. And there's a little experiment I did in my class. I told my students, this is, I think, 2 years ago, right? This is before the pandemic, or 3 years ago. I told everyone, on Tuesday's class, please come to class on time, but bring a blindfold. Okay. So everyone comes to class, they bring a blindfold. They're like, dude, what are you doing? I'm like, okay. Everyone sit down, turn the lights off, put the blindfold around your head, make sure your eyes are completely covered, but you are not allowed to see. So I made sure I was putting fingers in front of people. Like, can you see? Like, no. Okay, cool. So I got everyone to put their blindfolds on. Mind you, this was like 20 to 30 students just sitting in front of me, kind of like a blindfold experiment. If anyone would have walked by, they would have been like, what are you doing to these students? But I told them, put the blindfold on, sit down, and just face the board and just listen to my voice. If you feel comfortable, just put your hand up, okay? How many, and I said to everyone, stay quiet, listen. How many of you have been victims of abuse? Put your hands up. Hands went up. How many of you wish your parents would have been more present? Hands went up. How many of you are currently happy? Hands went up. How many of you feel terrible? Hands went up. And so what happened here was, when everything was said and done, I asked one last question, which was, how many of you have been victims of pain, violence, and domestic abuse? All the hands went up. I told everyone, keep your hands up, take off your blindfolds, and said, look around you. And everyone was kind of like, what the hell? We have this identity that we think that we know people based off of, okay, well, you're Jennifer, the podcaster, but I don't know your story. I'm going to treat you as a podcaster. You're going to treat me as your interviewer or interviewee. I'm going to treat that person as my student, because that's the label that society and we have put onto people. But sometimes in life, it's important to peel that label back and see the pain that some people are carrying with them. And there's so much beauty behind the pain, because the meaning of pain is an opportunity for love to grow. And that's what we try to do with our class.
You wrapped it up so perfectly. I just think you're an amazing person. And I truly mean that. I think you're inspirational. And I love it when people go into the right career for themselves and you can just feel their passion. You exude your passion. I can see why your students love taking your course, because you can tell you truly love teaching the material. And that's why I have no doubt that a lot of the students that come and get taught by you, we're going to have a great crop of people in this industry. So thank you. Of course, if you are interested after listening to this, I feel very inspired, like I do, from our guest, Shaquille Khan, you have to go to the check out all the amazing programs that CDI College has to offer, including the social services worker program like we heard about today. All you have to do is go to cdicollege.ca. And that has been another episode of the Career Buzz Podcast. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Career Buzz Podcast, brought to you by CDI College, the training you need for the career you want. Make sure to continue the conversation by following us on our social media pages. Also, subscribe to our YouTube channel so you don't miss any episodes. And for more information about CDI College, check out our website, cdicollege.ca. Talk to you next time.